That tells us that we can begin then, I take it. Yeah. So we'll do it. And we were at the moment when the perspective went up in a way to the sky, and we saw beyond Bloom, we saw the village and the postman and all of that, but now we come back to Bloom. The light ship winked at Mr. Bloom, and now we're back there. That's where we start. Yeah.
Not really.
If those chaps out there must have stayed in the same spot, Irish lights born, penance for their sins. Coast guards too. Rocketed breeches boy and lifeboat.
Good.
The pleasure comes in the Aaron's king, throwing them the sack of old papers, bears in the zoo, filthy trip. Drunkards out to shake up their livers, puking overboard to feed the herrings, nausea. And the women, fear of God in their faces. Millie, no sign of funk, her blue scarf loose, laughing. Don't know what death is at that age. And then their stomachs clean. But being lost, they fear. When we hid behind the tree at Crumlin, I didn't want to. Mama, mama! Babes in the wood, frightening them with masks too, throwing them up in the air to catch them. I'll murder you! Is it only half fun? Or children playing battle, whole earnest? How can people aim guns at each other? Sometimes they go off. Poor kids. Only troubles, wildfire and nettle rash. Calomel purge, I got her for that. After getting better, asleep with Molly. Pretty same teeth she has. What do they love? Another themselves? But the morning she chased her with the umbrella, perhaps so as not to hurt. I felt her pulse ticking. Little hand it was, now big. Dearest Papley, all that the hand says when you touch. Loved to count my waistcoat buttons. Her first days, I remember, made me laugh to see. Little paps to begin with. Left one is more sensitive, I think. Mine too, nearer the heart. Patting themselves out if fat is in fashion. How growing pains at night, calling, wakening me. Frightened she was when her nature came on her first, poor child. Strange moment for the mother, too. Brings back her girlhood. Gibraltar, looking from Buena Vista, O'Hara's Tower, the seabird screaming, old Barbary ape that gobbled all his family, sundown, gunfire for the men to cross the lines. Looking out over the sea, she told me. Evening like this, but clear, no clouds. I always thought I'd marry a lord or a gentleman with a private yacht. Buenas noches, señorita, el hombre ama la muchacha hermosa. Why me? Because you were so foreign from the others.
Bloom thinks of people in lightships and that have to stay there all the time, isolated. Life those chaps out there must have stuck in the same spot. Bloom is always sympathetic with people in a bad situation. Irish Lightsport, that was the administration of all the lighthouses. Penance for their sins. Oh, it's a kind of a prison. Coast guards too. Of course, they had lots of institutions, say, a rocket and breeches boy and lifeboat. So they have a breeches boy is something you can hang where you can sit, that you can lower from above, and then the shipwrecked can sit in it. We went out for the pleasure cruise in the Erin's King. That was for me a sort of boat ride, throwing them the sack of old papers so the lighthouse people would have something to read. There's in the zoo, where you also throw things. Filthy trip. Drunkards out to shake up their livers. Puking overboard to feed the herrings. Nausea, that is when you're sick on a ship. And the word nausea is the same that also contains Nausicaa in Homer, because they, the Phaeacians, were very good at navigation, and they had lots of names based on ship, nausea. And the women, fear of God in their faces. Millie, no sign of funk. He thought of that before we had it somewhere else. Her blue scarf loose, laughing. Don't know what death is at that age. And then their stomachs are clean. Blue Morris thinks of the causes. That being lost, they fear. When we hit behind the tree at Crumlin, the suburb, I didn't want to. Mama, mama, babes in the wood is a kind of a story of children in the wood who were lost there. Babes in the wood. Frightening them with masks too. Throwing them up in the air to catch them and thinks about what frightens children. I'll murder you. Is it only half fun? Or children playing battle? Or earnest? How can people aim guns at each other? Sometimes they go off. Poor kids. Only troubles, wildfire and nettle rash, diseases. Calamar perch, I got for that. After getting better, asleep with Molly. Very same teeth she has. What do they love? Another themselves? But the morning she chased her with the umbrella, perhaps so as not to hurt. I felt her pulse ticking. Little hand it was. But now big, dearest Papley. So hand is also handwriting. That's the letter he got from Neil in the morning. All that the hand says when you touch. Left to count my waistcoat buttons. Her first stays. I suppose children were already wearing stays, corsets. I remember. Made me laugh to see. Little paps to begin with. Left one is more sensitive. Bloom knows all kinds of things about the body, whether they are true or not, I think. Mine too, near the heart. So it's quite interesting that Bloom thinks of himself as also partly female, near the heart. Padding themselves out if fat is in fashion. A growing pain at night, calling, wakening me. Frightened she was when her nature came on her first. Poor child. Strange moment for the mother too. Again, you realize how the sentences are short in contrast to the long periods we sometimes have in the dirty part. Poor child. Strange moment for the mother too. I suppose he means when the daughter begins to menstruate, it's also something that affects the mother. Strange one for the mothers too. Brings back her childhood. Gibraltar, now he thinks of Molly in Gibraltar, what she told him. Looking from Buena Vista, O'Hara's tower, and there is in fact in the O'Hara's tower, the seabird screaming. Old Barbary ape that gobbled all his family. For those who've been in Gibraltar, they're famous apes who came and they steal your things. So they're one of the tourist attractions, Barbary ape. Sundown, gunfire for the men to cross the lines. It seems that the garrison, the soldiers, were allowed to go to Spain, but in the evening they had to come back. Across the lines. Looking out over the sea, she told me, evening like this, but clear, no clouds. And then obviously what she said, I always thought I'd marry a lord or a gentleman with a private yacht. And then he knows some Spanish, not the most advanced Spanish, buenas noches, señorita, el hombre ama la muchacha hermosa, so the man loves. And again, it has to do with love. And the whole chapter is in a way focused on love, not obviously the most perfect love, no coming together, but still it is a positive feeling we have. Why me? Bloom thought, and I've always been interested in the sentence, because you were so foreign from the others. Doesn't seem to be quite English. You're so different from the others, but foreign from is not something I heard, and so for me it stands out a bit. Good. Next.
Better not stick here all night like a limpet. The weather makes it dull. Must be getting on for nine by the light. Go home. Too late for Leah, Lily of Delaney. No, might be still up. Call to the hospital to see. Hope she's over. Long day I've had. Martha, the bath, funeral, House of Keys, museum with those goddesses, Daedalus' song. Then that baller in Barney Kiernan's. Got my own back there. Drunk. What I said about his God made him wince. Mistake to hit back? Or no? Ought to go home and laugh for themselves. Always want to be swilling in company. Afraid to be alone like a child or two. Suppose he hit me. Look at it other way round. Not so bad then. Perhaps not to hurt, he meant. Three cheers for Israel. Three cheers for the sister-in-law he hawked about. Three fangs in her mouth. Same style of beauty. Particularly nice old party for a cup of tea. The sister of the wife of the wild man of Borneo had just come to town. Imagine that in the early morning at close range. Everyone to his taste, as Morris said when he kissed the cow. But Dignam's put the boots on it. Houses of mourning so depressing because you never know. Anyhow, she wants the money. Must call to those Scottish widows as I promised. Strange name. Takes it for granted. We're going to Popo first. That widow on Monday, was it? Outside Kramer's, that looked at me. Bury the poor husband, but progressing favorably on the premium. Her widow's might. Well, what do you expect it to do? Must wheedle her way along. Widower, I hate to see. Look so forlorn. Poor man O'Connor, wife and five children, poisoned by mussels here. The sewage. Hopeless. Some good matronly woman in a pork pie hat to mother him. Take him in tow, platter face and a large apron. Ladies' grey flannelette bloomers, 3 shillings a pair. Astonishing bargain. Plain and loved, love forever, they say. Ugly, no woman thinks she is. Love, lie and be handsome, for tomorrow we die. See him sometimes walking about trying to find out who played the trick. U.P. Up. Fate, that is. He, not me. Also a shop often noticed. Curse seems to dog it. Dreamt last night. Wait. Something confused. She had red slippers on, Turkish. Wore the breeches. Suppose she does. Would I like her in pyjamas? Damned her to answer. Nanetti's gone. Mailboat. Near Holyhead by now. Must nail that ad of Keys. Work Hines and Crawford. Petticoats from Molly. She has something to put in them. What's that? Might be money.
Better not stick here all night like a limpet. The limpet are these mollusks that stick to rocks. And when you see it, so happens that the word limp is in it too. This weather makes you dull. Must be getting on for nine by the light. Go home. Too late for Leah, Lily of Killarney. Originally, Bloom probably thought he might go to the theatre. Leah, that play on by an Austrian about the Jewish community. The Lily of Killarney is a very famous Irish opera. No, might be still up, Molly. Call to the hospital to see. Hope she's over. She is Mrs. Purefoy, who is pregnant, as we hear, and he's been asking about her and learned that she is... And then Bloom thinks, long day I've had, and he recapitulates the day so far. Now, I think that this is the correspondence to Odysseus at the court of the Phaeacians, telling all his adventures. In the Odyssey, that takes up books 9 to 12. That is the part we remember best the sirens and all of that. And here we have Bloom thinking back, a kind of recall, as a sort of analogy. Long day I've had. And of course he remembers only special things, not things like breakfast regular. Martha, the letter, the bath. Obviously, you don't take a bath every day. Funeral. House of Keys, that is the newspaper office with the advertisement, House of Keys. Museum with these goddesses, and he wanted to look at the backside of goddesses and was stopped. Daedalus' song, that's the sirens. Then that ball in Barney Kiernan's, that is our Cyclops chapter, just before. That, of course, looms largest because it's recent and it's a bit extraordinary because he nearly got into a brawl. Got my own back there, drunken ranters. What I said about his gods made him wince. He said, "Your god was a Jew like me." But then, mistake to hit back or no. Or to go home and laugh at themselves. Always want to be swilling in company. Afraid to be alone, like a child of two, which we had before. Suppose he hit me. Look at it other way round, and it's quite typical that Bloom here is still the one who can say, there's another side to it. Look at it the other way around. Take the other's position. So it's the the battle between a two-eyed person and the one-eyed who has blinders narrow. Suppose he hit me. Look at it other way around. And that's the typical Bloom attitude. Not so bad then. Perhaps not to hurt, he meant, throwing the biscuit in. Three cheers for Israel. Three cheers for the sister-in-law he hawked about. Three fangs in her mouth, we didn't know of her, but she was the same style of beauty. Particularly nice old party for a cup of tea. Then he thinks, the sister of the wife of the wild man of Borneo has just come to town. This was a music hall song, and it is endless. The wild man from Borneo, the wife of the wild man from Borneo, the sister of the wife, the face of the sister of the wife, and so it goes on and on. That has just come to town, the music, endless song. Imagine that in the early mornings at close range. And then there's a nice Irish proverb. Every man to his taste, as Morris said, when he kissed the cow. And you know that's a pattern in English. Something as somebody said on a certain occasion. I think it was Dickens who introduced it. So it's a very common feature. But Dignam puts the boot on it, obviously meaning that's the worst, that's the last straw. What he does not know, but we know, is, as we heard, that when Dignam died on the landing, he was shouting for his boots. So that's a little connection in the moon. Put the boots on it. Houses of mourning, he was visiting the Dignam's house, so depressing, because you never know. House of mourning is also a biblical phrase. Anyhow, she wants the money, the widow, Dignam. Must call to those Scottish widows, as I promised. The Scottish widows is an insurance company that I understand is still going strong, so it's a big thing. And then Bloom, strange name, takes it for granted. We're going to pop off first. That's why you have a widow's insurance, not a widower's insurance. That widow, but you can imagine that the life of a widow would have been very difficult. that widow on Monday, was it Dr. Kramer, that looked at me. Buried the poor husband, but progressing favorably on the premium. Her widow's mite, that is a kind of pension that widows get, and it's usually very little. Well, what do you expect her to do? Must wheedle her way along. Widower, I hate to see. Look so forlorn. Then there is one poor man, O'Connor, wife and five children, poisoned by mustard. There was such a case. The sewage, hopeless. Some good matronly woman in pork pie hat to mother him. Take him in tow, platter face and a large apron. Ladies, grey flannelette bloomers. Bloomers were was female underclothes that went from the waist to the knees. We probably have some in Zurich when you see them. They look very funny, funny for us, of course. Not what you might expect. And of course, they're named bloomers, and a choice will make something with that. 3 shillings a pair, astonishing bargain. Plain and loved, loved forever, they say. Ugly. No woman drinks years. Love, lie and be handsome, for tomorrow we die. That is from the Bible, and it's from the book of Ecclesiastes. The teacher, the preacher, and I think it's the book in the Bible that we can still read, you know, nothing new under the sun, everything remains the same. It's a kind of attitude that is very close to Bloom. It's also, I think, a book of the Bible that we can still relate to, we can understand. And the attitude is a little bit skeptical, not much news, be happy when you can. See him sometimes, trying to find out who played the trick. He sees the widower sometimes. UP up. Remember, that's the postcard that Tennis Breen was sent, and he's going to sue for libel, and we don't quite know what he means. It's all up with you, something. And that's a trick played on Mr. Breen. Fate, that is. Fate. He, not me. Fate hits somebody. Also, shop, often noticed. Curse seems to dog it. Certain shops, certain people are unlucky. Dreamt last night. Wait, now he remembers a dream, which is, as you know, always very hard. Something confused. She had red slippers on, Turkish. Wore the breeches. Suppose she does. Would I like her in pyjamas? Damn hard to answer. From what I gather is, it was unusual for women to wear trousers, to wear pants. It was oriental and probably particularly attractive and things like that. There must be something like that, because I remember a story a friend had told me where a young woman was not allowed in a pantsuit in a London restaurant. That was perhaps 40 years ago. So my friend said, let her take them off, and that was perfectly all right. The trousers were not. And Bloom may have a liking for it. Damn hard to answer. Nanette is gone. Nanette is the man in the newspaper who can decide about the renewal. So he needs his consent. Mailboat. And Nanette with her went by the mailboat from Ireland to Wales to London. Near Holyhead, by the Holyhead is the embarkation in Wales. Must nail that ad of Keys. That's Broome's next income. Well, Hines and Crawford, Hines the journalist, Crawford the editor of the paper. Petticoats for Molly. He would spend it on something for Molly. She has something to put in them. What's that? Might be money.
Mr. Bloom stooped and turned over a piece of paper on the strand. He brought it near his eyes and peered. Letter? No, can't read. Better go. Better. I'm tired to move. Page of an old copybook. All those holes and pebbles. Who could count them? Never know what you find. Bottle with story of a treasure in it, thrown from a ring. Parcels post. Children always want to throw things in the sea. Trust. Bread cast on the waters. What's this? Bit of stick. Oh, exhausted that female has me. Not so young now. Will she come here tomorrow? Wait for her somewhere forever. Must come back. Murderers do. Will I? Mr. Bloom, with his stick, gently vexed the thick sand at his foot. Write a message for her. Might remain, what?
Good. Mr. Bloom stooped and turned over a piece of paper on the strand. Not to forget, in the third chapter, Stephen was on the strand, not necessarily the same place, and he wrote on a piece of paper, but it's not that, just a similarity. He brought it near his eyes and peered. Letter? No, can't read. Better go, better. I am tired to move. Page of an old copybook. All those holes and pebbles, who could count them? That looks like some poem at the background. Never know what you find. Bottle with story of treasures in it, thrown from a wreck. There are stories, you know, you put a letter in a bottle and then it floats and somebody will find it. It's the kind of adventure stories that occurred in the 19th century. Parcels post. Children always want to throw things in the sea. Trust. Bread cast on the waters. That is something in the Bible, and I don't think it's known in the German tradition. Cast thy bread on the waters and it will return. I've never quite understood it. I wouldn't like to eat bread that has been on the waters, but it is a biblical echo of trust. What's this? Bit of stick. And then, oh, exhausted that female has me. Again, what is interesting, it is a kind of perception. He feels he's exhausted, then he's exhausted, and then it is because of that woman. So the exhausted comes first because that's what he feels, and then the sentence. And if you translate, oh, this old woman has exhausted me, you're not doing the same thing. So in the order of words can be quite important. Not so young now. Will you come here tomorrow? Wait for her somewhere forever? Must come back. Murders do. Will I? And you know, that's something. If you meet somebody, you might say, maybe tomorrow at the same time. But it's also murders will be back. And here you have one of the many small references to the theme of love and death. Eros and Thanatos together. You do it in the murder, you will I. Mr. Bloom with his stick gently vexed the thick sand at his foot. There are quite a number of scenes in literature, Bible and antiquity, where somebody writes in the sand. Write a message for her. Might remain. What?
Some flatfoot tramp on it in the morning. Useless. Washed away. Tide comes here. A pool near her foot. Bend. See my face there. Dark mirror. Breathe on it. Stirs. All these rocks with lines and scars and letters. All those transparent. Besides, they don't know. What is the meaning of that other world? I called you naughty boy because I do not like A M A no room. Let it go. Mr. Bloom effaced the letters with his slow boot. Hopeless thing, sand. Nothing grows in it. All fades. No fear of big vessels coming up here, except Guinness's barges. Round the kitchen 80 days. Done half by design. He flung his wooden pen away. The stick fell in silted sand. Stuck. Now, if you were trying to do that for a week on end, you couldn't. Chance. We'll never meet again. But it was lovely. Goodbye, dear. Thanks. Made me feel so young.
Good. Then was Bloom there with his stick. He obviously makes a vertical stroke. That's the easiest thing to do. But in English, and I think only in English, it is also a pronoun, it's also a word. So Bloom is writing something, and we wonder what he was going to write. It's not complete. Some flat foot trampled it in the morning, useless. Washed away. Tide comes here, a pool near her foot. And see my face there, dark mirror, breathe on it, stirs. And of course you have lots of the page of literature where somebody looks into a pond, into a mirror, especially in metamorphosis and all of that. And you realize mirrors are quite important. The first sentence has a mirror, but I always wonder, and there must be something on it, how important it was for our psyche when you can see yourself clearly, which in a bit of water you cannot, in a mirror and see that is how the world looks at you. And there's a lot of mirrors in that you can do as well. Bend, see my face, a dark mirror, breathe on it, stirs. All those rocks with lines and scars and letters. Remember the third chapter, the difficult one. Stephen was on the beach and had all kinds of similar thoughts, a signature of all things and letters, and he wrote a letter and a poem. Oh, those transparent, he means the transparent stocking, where Stephen talked about Aristotle and transparency and all in a different context. Besides, they don't know. What is the meaning of that other world? Remember, in the letter he picked up in the morning, Martha Clifford said, I do not like that other world. What is the meaning of that word? Because she confused the word he sent her with the world and put in an L. So he thinks of the letter that reproached him. I called you naughty boy because I do not like. She called him naughty boy in a kind of flirtatious letter. And now Bloom goes on writing and then stops. No room. Let it go. And of course, if that happens, if somebody writes in the sand, we expect something. What was Bloom going to write? I am a, he could have said a naughty boy. He has been a naughty boy after all. I am a, people said I'm a cuckold, I'm a Jew or something like that. But we don't know. But it's intriguing to do, and you can see that we tried. I always thought it's kind of interesting that in a chapter that deals with positive emotions, love, however imperfect, you have the word ama, which is after all the root for love. But we don't even know, well, Bloom know what he was going to write. Or he could have written, I am alone, which is, so we don't know. He could also have written, I am A. And A Jesus said, I am A and O, Alpha and Omega. All of these things have been tried, and when you come so far, it's hard not to wonder about it. By the way, I am a, if you write that in German, you have to measure. I is just a stroke, but to have ich or igli or something like that would be quite something. And some languages don't even need the pronoun. So anyway, I am a, no rule, let it go. Mr. Bloom effaced the letter with his slow boot. Hopeless thing, sound. And you see, the sentences are short and heavy and tired. Nothing grows in it. All fades. No fear of big vessels coming up here, except Guinness's barges. Round the Kish in 80 days. The Kish is that light ship in the harbour, and of course we all hear Jules Verne, round the world in 80 days. Very popular at the time. Then half by design. He flung his wooden pen away. The stick fell in silted sand. You have silted sand also in the third chapter. Stuck. Now, if you're trying to do that for a week, on end you couldn't. So the stick happens to be stuck. And if you tried it, you couldn't. Chance. We'll never meet again. The meeting is also kind of chance. But it was lovely. So for Bloom, this is a successful meeting. Goodbye, dear. Thanks. Made me feel so young. That's how far we went.
Short snooze now, if I had. I must be near 9. Liverpool boat long gone. Not even the smoke. And she can do the other, did too. And Belfast. I won't go. Race there, race back to Ennis. Let him. Just close my eyes a moment. Won't sleep though. Half dream. It never comes the same. Bash again. No harm in him, just a few. Oh, sweetie, oh, the little girl, white up, I saw, dirty braced girdle, made me do loaf sticky. We too naughty, Grace darling. She, him, half past, the bed met him by coses, frillies for Raoul to perfume your wife, black hair, heave under humble, senorita, young eyes, Malvi, plump, years, dreams, return tail end, agenda. Lovely, showed me her next year in drawers. Return next in her.
So, short snooze night I had. Now, Bloom is as far from home as he ever will be. It must be near 9. Liverpool boat long gone. They, of course, knew which boat would leave when. Not even the smoke. And she can do the other, Molly, ditto. And Belfast, where she and Molly will go. Molly and Boylan will go. I won't go. Race there. Race back to Ennis. So Bloom decided not to come along to Belfast. Ennis is where his father died, and he goes for the anniversary. Let him. Just close my eyes a moment. Won't sleep though, half dream. It never comes the same. Bat again, no harm in him. Just a few, and then he falls asleep. Now, in the Odyssey, the Phaeacians, to whom he told his adventures, honored him and gave him a lot of presents. He was quite materially minded, and they had magic ships, and the magic ship brought him home while he was asleep. Here he is still on the beach, but that's for the sleep part. And now you have a paragraph that is quite challenging. You can try this out and read it to your next, and see they will be totally puzzled. Now, you're not totally puzzled because you've read the book, but you don't remember everything. So that is the kind of jumble that comes to you, pictures of the past day. It's not logical, it is just, and we can trace it back because we read the book. Ah, oh, sweetie, all your little girl white up I saw. Dirty brace girdle. Dirty, was it? He thought of an actress brace girdle, but here brace girdle divides into brace and girdle, something you wear and can see. Made me do love. Sticky. Bloom is sticky. We too, naughty. Call me naughty boy. Grace darling. As we remember, Grace darling was a lighthouse daughter, probably very prim, not a beauty, by name of Grace darling, and she rescued some sailors and became famous. But here Grace darling becomes much more erotic. She him half past the bed, met him pike hoses. Remember, that is a Molly in the morning, transposed, metempsychosis, met him pike hoses. Hoses covers the leg, and they're also eroticized. Frillis for row, frillis, underclothes, for row. That's the passage in that novel, Sweets of Sin, where a woman dresses herself for Raoul, who is not the husband. The perfume, Martha asks, what perfume does your wife, black hair? And now I'm reading from the classical edition, because in the Paris edition, something got lost. And you can imagine, if you have this and something gets lost, nobody can realize it because it's not complete syntax. So what I now read may depart from your thing, and that's how it should be. You can easily imagine the typesetter also slipped. Black hair, heave under embon, heaving embon point. It was in the erotic novel. Señorita, young eyes, Mulvey, the first boyfriend, plump, Bob's, breasts. Me, Brad Van Winkle, who remembers that they did a charade, Brad, Rip Van Winkle, and the Brad Van he saw in the morning, Winkle, red slippers. She, rusty sleep, when Rip Van Winkle woke up after 20 years, his gun was rusty with sleep. Warm the years of dreams return. Tail end, Blue thought of sailors, they know the tail ends of all ports. And Agendath, that is the Jewish company of planters where you can invest in money. Swoony, to swoon away, lovey, showed me her next year in Jerusalem, in drawers, under clothes, return, next and her next, her next. So you see, this is mere jumble of words, but it is an extract, what occurs to him. This is, I think, what comes closest to a dream state. For me, this is much more dreamy than Finnegan's Wake, which Joyce said is a dream, and as you see, you couldn't understand that on its own, but we can, because it depends for us practically on a memory, which nobody has. So, so that's a good example of what Ulysses comes to towards the end. And now we come to the end.
Oh, next. A bat flew here, there. Far in the grey, a bell chimed. Mr. Bloom, with open mouth, his left boot sanded sideways, leaned, breathed. Just for a few. Cuckoo, cuckoo, cuckoo. The clock on the mantelpiece in the priest's house cooed, where Canon O'Hanlon and Father Conroy and the Reverend John Hughes, S.J., were taking tea and soda bread and butter in fried mutton shops with catsup and talking about cuckoo, cuckoo, cuckoo. Because it was a little canary bird that came out of his little house to tell the time, that Gertie MacDowell noticed the time she was there, because she was as quick as anything about a thing like that was Gertie MacDowell, and she noticed at once that the foreign gentleman that was sitting on the rocks looking was cuckoo, cuckoo, cuckoo.
So the end. The text breaks up into three parts. With a cuckoo, obviously it's a quarter to nine then, or to ten, a quarter to, which of course they wouldn't hear on the beach. And then we have a bat flew here, far in the grey a bell chimed. Mr. Bloom, with open mouth, asleep, his left boot sanded sideways, lean, breathed, just for a few. And then you get the cuckoo. That's the clock in the priest's house. As I say, they wouldn't hear that. The clock on the mantelpiece in the priest's house cooed, where Canon O'Hanlon, Father Conway, and the Reverend John Hughes, S.J., were taking tea and soda bread and butter at fried mutton shops with ketchup and talking about, again, we don't know this. This is somewhere different. And then we have the cuckoo, and we come back to Gertie, because it was a little canary bird that came out of his little house to tell the time that Gertie MacDowell noticed the time she was there, because she was as quick as anything about a thing like that. That is a return to the style of the beginning, was Gertie MacDowell. And she noticed at once that the foreign gentleman that was sitting on the rocks looking was, and then we move into cuckoo. So the narrative splits into three parts. Like that. So this is this particular chapter, Nausicaa, which, as I said, is especially in the later chapters, is probably the easiest. First, we have that women's narrative kind of overblown style, and then we have the Bloom's thoughts, very short and a bit down to earth. We also have before, ecstatic, and after, dull, and all of that. So that is a chapter. And now, as I warned you, the next one will not be easy. Also not easy for me, by the way. I'm quite embarrassed because a lot of things I don't know. Ulysses is quite a democratic book, you know, it puts us all in the same boat, even if you're not, and it also can be sobering. Now, Joyce wrote this when he was back in Trieste after the war, 1919, and he came back into Trieste, which had lost its importance. It was a simple provincial Italian city. It didn't have the importance that it had in before. It was Italian, and they didn't need the harbor. And Joyce wrote to Budgen. In Zurich, they could talk. Now Joyce had good for us to write. And he wrote to him on March 1920, in a crowded apartment. I'm working hard at Oxen of the Sun. That is the Homeric title he gave it, Oxen. The idea being the crime committed against fecundity by sterilizing the act of coition. That's very strange. Sounds as though Ulysses wrote a book against birth control. the crime committed by Stella, that is basically the view of the church. I can't quite square it, but that's what he writes. I mean, the theme is fertility and sterility, of course. Seen be lying in hospital, that is the maternity hospital, where we know, you heard all day, Mrs. Purefoy has a difficult birth. And now those technique, a nine-parted episode, nine parts because of the 9 months of birth, without divisions, introduced by, and he calls it a Sallustian Tacitian prelude, which we will come to uncomfortably, by the way, in a few minutes. The unfertilized ovum, the egg, then by way of earliest English alliterative and monosyllabic and Anglo-Saxon. So he goes through the history of the English language. First a Latin type of passage, then Old English, you know, alliteration then, and he gives him then by way of Mandeville and Mallory and so on. And so he goes through, and Joyce gives you examples, through English literature. Yeah, and then at the end he says, symbolically, bloom is the spermatozoon, the sperm. The hospital, the womb, the nurse, the ovum, Stephen, the embryo. So he does it a very heavy symbolic thing. And then he says, how's that for high? Undercutting it all, things like that. And so what he seems to be doing, what his intention is, and it's always a question, how important is the intention of a writer in care? But it will be hard to... Now what Joyce is doing here, and that's quite an extreme, and don't think has been done before, is a maternity hospital. A boy will be born, the youngest member of things. And he wants to recreate the development of an embryo. And Joyce read all kinds of gynecologic books and things like that. He really wanted to do it as a biological chapter. And he writes it the way English developed. So on the one hand, it is evolution. We all go through all these things, biology and all of this. But he compares that with language. And I think that's quite an important thing. And I believe, from my rules, language had changed a bit. It often used to be a kind of God-given system that was more and more debased. But with the comparative studies that had, of course, have always been, but began in the 18th century and was big in the 19th century, they discovered that languages are like biological things. They're relations. There is a kind of parent language from which all the others developed. There are several, of course, and that is because they compared the various languages. And you know, the Grimm brothers in Germany were important. And so you had comparative studies where they looked up all the words and compared them and thought it was theoretical that they all had a development from a first language. There are several, of course, Semitic and others. This is mainly Indo-European. And you know, as you can see, that in all Indo-European languages, when you count 1, 2, 3, you can see some sort of similarity. So that now the languages are biologically related. So Sanskrit and Bernese dialect and Irish are the same thing, only a different development. And Joyce was interested in these changes. And of course, it's an interesting subject that fascinated 18th century philologists and linguists to study the common origin and how words change. That means, for example, that each word is also the result of a long and often complicated development. Words change in sound because of variance in speech. They change in grammar, they change in meaning. And so Joyce was quite interested in that. And I think it's an interest we probably share, otherwise you wouldn't be here. But it can be a bit difficult. And so Joyce, in a way, shows the whole development. I think there's another motive. I can't prove it. You know, if you want to become a writer, you may admire certain writers, maybe Tacitus and maybe Cervantes, but you can't write like Kleist or anymore, they say. It's not the right. I think Joyce said, the hell with it, of course I can, only better. So it was also a kind of challenge. And so he produced a number of, you might say, translations into what the English language might have been. And he consulted a lot of books. He had a good memory. He consulted, above all, some anthologies. There were anthologies of the history of prose. One of the best known was Saintsbury, who had a whole, and Joyce used this, and he left behind a great deal of notes, so we can see. So what we have here is now that the whole action is transposed into fake styles of English. So that was a long introduction. Yeah, necessary. And now we come back to, and we read it, and you will see the beginning is quite heavy. So, yeah, okay. Just the first, we have some very short paragraphs. So we have those.
The song at twilight, when the nights are low, and the flickering shadows softly come and go, though the heart may be weak, and the day has long, but the twilight
comes along with song. Dashel Halles Ayams, Dashel Halles Ayams, Dashel
Halles Ayams. Yeah, stop here. That's enough. You will admit that's not very easy. How do you pronounce it? What does it mean? The one thing you see is similar to the end. It is three words repeated three times. That's just like the end of thing where we have the whole thing broken up. Whenever we don't know what something means, we look at the form, and that's at least a kind of similarity. Now, I believe that Stuart Gilbert, who was at Joyce's side in Paris and who wrote the first book about the background, asked Joyce, and Joyce told him, I somehow wish he hadn't, because now we have, it would have been interesting to guess around this. But the solution, that's from the horse's mouth, is Deshil is an Irish word. It means towards the sun, towards the south, Deshil. Hollis is, we go, the hospital where the action takes place is in Hollis Street, and it was known as the Hollis Street Hospital. The next word, you don't quite know what to do. Somebody thought it was an Irish name, but it is in fact, Joyce told us, the Latin Eamus. which would translate into "Let us go south, Amos, let us go south to Holler Street." Holler Street is in the south. Bloom comes from the south. So is that. So it seems to be that three times. what is this? And Joyce also gave away that this is based on one of the first pieces of Latin poetry. And you know, literature often begins with a magic formula and something like that. And of course, you know, in religion, you always say things three times. Sanctus, sanctus, sanctus. And this is the earliest piece of poetry in the foundation I could show you. And it is a hymn for fertility because it was important. And it is also made up of the three same words, three times three. So it's a kind of fertility. But here, nobody says it, nobody thinks it. It's quite different and quite strange. Then he goes on. You can hear the rest. Mm-hmm.
Bright one, light one, horn, quickening and womb fruit. Wow. Send us bright one, light one, horn, quickening and womb fruit. Send us bright one, light one, horn, quickening and womb fruit. Hoopsa, boy, a boy, hoopsa. Hoopsa, boy, a boy, hoopsa. Hoopsa, yep. Boy, a boy.
Good. So you have also, it's based on three times three, nine number of months of birth. So there's a lot of that kind of thing. Then this is send us, it's also a prayer, bright one. The bright one is the sun. I come to this. Light one, horn. Horn has to do with cattle and it's a reduplication of horn, and the master of the hospital was Sir Andrew Horn. You can still see the name if you go there, Horn. So it was named Horn's Hospital. That came horn. Quickening is life, quick, and womb fruit, fertility. So you see in the ancient cultures, it was important to have a lot of offspring for survival. And so there were lots of fertility thing, womb fruit. And that is repeated three times. So again, you have a lot of things. There is something I hesitate to say, but while obviously Joyce is playing it massively, Joyce himself was born in a street that was called Brighton Square. Maybe the bright one does something like that. Brighton Square, which by the way, is a triangle. Anyway, but that's by the by. So fertility. And the last one, hopes a boy, the boy is born and you lift it up and that's what it is. All of this is pretty strange and in this chapter, Joyce goes very far. And he also takes us on a ride. Now, the next thing is what Joyce calls a Tacitian Sallustian. These are Roman writers, Tacitus, who wrote the condensed way. And you will see it is, we lose our way in it. Mm-hmm. So we just listen to it. You make the best of it.
I hope so. Universally, that person's acumen is esteemed very little perceptive concerning whatsoever matters are being held as most profitably by mortals with sapience endowed, to be studied who is ignorant of that which the most in doctrine erudite, and certainly by reason of that in them high mind's ornament, deserving of veneration, constantly maintain, when by general consent they affirm that other circumstances being equal, by no exterior splendor is the prosperity of a nation more efficaciously asserted than by the measure of how far forward may have progressed the tribute of a solicitude for that proliferant continuance, which of evils, the original, if it be absent, when fortunately present, constitutes the certain sign of omnipotent nature's incorrupted benefaction. For who is there who anything of some significance has apprehended, but is conscious that that exterior splendor may be the surface of a downward-tending lutulent reality? Or on the contrary, anyone so is there inilluminated as not to perceive that, as no nature's boon can contend against the bounty of increase, so it behoves every most just citizen to become the exhortator and admonisher of assemblables, and to tremble lest what had in the past been by the nation excellently commenced might be in the future not with similar excellence accomplished, if an inverecund habit shall have gradually traduced the honorable by ancestors transmitted customs to that thither of profundity, that one was audacious excessively, who would have the hardihood to rise affirming that no more odious offense can for anyone be than to oblivious neglect to consign that evangel simultaneously command and promise, which on all mortals with prophecy of abundance or with diminution's menace, that exalted of reiteratedly procreating function, ever irrevocably enjoined.
Yeah, speaks for itself. Yeah. So you can see it's something very heavy, and it looks to me like something that is word by word translated from a complicated Latin text, things like that. Mm-hmm. And what did you say is the subject of the sentence and the main verb? You see, it's obviously it's meant for us to be lost in. I don't really know how to do it. It's very Latin, and you have most of the Latin words. But it seems to say, I can just summarize it, don't really know what it is. You judge each culture by the attention it gives to its children and its offspring and its mothers and all of that. And the Irish were particularly good in that. And that is done in very elaborate Latin. I've read this so many times, and I can't. There's things that we understand, but I usually decide to leave it at that, and rather than go through it, because we lose our thing in the syntax, unless there's strong protest, or you try your hands at it. Then you just go to the second.
It is not why, therefore, we shall wonder if, as the best historians relate, among the Celts, who nothing that was not in its nature admirable admired, the art of medicine shall have been highly honored. Not to speak of hostels, leper yards, sweating chambers, plague graves, their greatest doctors, the O'Shields, the O'Hickeys, the O'Lees, have sedulously set down the divers methods by which the sick and the relapsed found again health, whether the malady had been the trembling, withering, or loose boyconal flux. Certainly, in every public work, which in it anything of gravity contains, preparation should be with importance commensurate, and therefore a plan was by them adopted, whether by having preconsidered, or as the maturation of experience, it is difficult in being said, which the discrepant opinions of subsequent inquirers are not, up to the present, congrued to render manifest, whereby maternity was so far from all accident possibility removed, that whatever care the patient, in that all hardest of woman are chiefly required, and not solely for the copiously opulent, but also for her who, not being sufficiently moneyed, scarcely, and often not even scarcely, could subsist valiantly, and for an inconsiderable emolument was provided.
Yeah, that should be easier then. It is not small wonder that, as the best historians relate among the Celts, who nothing that was not in nature admirable admired, with the Celts, the art of medicine shall have been highly honored. So the Celts did this more than others. Not to speak of hostels. And then you have all kinds of words relating to hospitals, and leper yards, sweating chambers, plague graves, the greatest doctors. And then there are some historical doctors in the Irish tradition, O'Shieldy, O'Higgins, O'Leese, have sedulously set down diverse methods by which the sick and the relapsed found again health. So they did. Whether the malady had been the trembling withering, old names for things, or the loose poikonal flux diseases. Certainly, in every public work, which in it anything of gravity contains, gravity can also be pregnancy, preparation should be with importance commensurate. So there should be a right proportion. And therefore a plan was by them adopted, whether by having pre-considered or as the maturation of experience, it is difficult in being said, which the discrepant opinions, diverting opinions, of subsequent inquirers are not up to the present congruent to render manifest, whereby maternity was so far from all accident possibly removed that whatever care the patient in that all hardest of woman hour chiefly required, and not solely for the copiously opulent, but also for her who, not being sufficiently moneyed, scarcely and often, not even scarcely, could subsist valiantly, and for an inconsiderable memorial was provided. So that we can follow, it's much closer to us. So they had a good tradition. And from what I heard, I think the first maternity hospital was in Dublin. So they have a long tradition. And the language becomes a little bit easier.
To her, nothing already, then and thenceforward, was anywhere able to be molestful. For this chiefly felt all citizens, except with proliferant mothers, prosperity at all, not to can be, and as they had received eternity, God's mortal's generation to befit them, her beholding, when the case was so having itself, parturient in vehicle thereward carrying desire immense among all one another, was impelling on of her to be received into that domicile. O thing of prudent nation, not merely in being seen, but also even in being related worthy of being, praised that they her by anticipation went seeing mother, that she by them suddenly to be about to be cherished had been begun, she felt.
To her nothing already then and thenceforward was anyway able to be molestful, nothing good. For this chiefly felt all citizen, except with proliferant mothers, prosperity at all, not to can be. And of course, the syntax is also strange. Maybe it was like that once. And as they had received eternity, gods, mortals, generation to befit them, her beholding, when the case was so having itself, parturient, giving birth, in vehicle thereward, carrying desire immense, among all one another was impelling on of her to be received into that domicile. We can more or less just about follow. O thing of prudent nation, not merely in being seen, but also in being related, worthy of being praised. Worthy of being praised, you can imagine as a Latin word, that they, by her anticipation, went seeing mother, that she, by them, suddenly be about to be cherished, had been begun, she felt. Here we are a bit closer. Anyway, it is very oddly medical. And an interesting thing is that a doctor, the doctor of medicine who came from Zurich, went to Düsseldorf, in his medical courses did read this chapter of Ulysses, was part of it, and obviously they got something out of it. And now we come, we begin really. This is a chapter I always thought what one could treat separately, and I had always hoped, that's too late now, that something like an English seminar, might do a real seminar on this chapter where experts on literature, on the rare things, would talk. Never come off, but it's imaginable. But now we begin earlier on. Yeah.
Before born, babe bliss had, within womb one he worship. Whatever in that one case done, commodiously done was. A couch by midwives attended, with wholesome food, reposeful. Cleanly swaddles, as though forthbringing were now done, and by wise foresight set. But to this no less of what drugs there is need, and surgical implements which are pertaining to her case, not omitting aspect of all very distracting spectacles and various latitudes by our terrestrial orb offered, together with images divine and human, the cogitation of which by said young females is to tumescence conducive, or eases issue in the high, sun-bright, well-built fair home of mothers, when, ostensibly far gone and reproductive, it is come by her thereto to lie in her
And now you see first that Joyce goes back to the alliterative thing, alliteration beginning with the same consonant. Before born babe bliss had, within womb one he worship. So these are very simple imitations of Anglo-Saxon. But it's mixed here. Whatever in that one case done, commodiously done was. A couch by midwives attended with wholesome food, reposeful, a lot of rest, cleanest swaddles, that's an old word for diapers, swaddles, as though forthbringing were now done, birth is done. Yeah, you need diapers and things when the birth is there, and by wise foresight set. But by this, no less, of what drugs there is need, drug here, medicine, and surgical implements, which are pertaining to her case, not omitting aspect of all very distracting spectacles in various latitudes, that they also have pictures of the world, distracting spectacles, something you can see, whereas others are offered together with images, divine or human, so that the hospital was supplied with positive images, landscapes, and things like that. And divine and human, the cogitation, thinking about, of which by sejunct females, females that are not together but are separate, or is its issue is its birth, in the high, sun-bright, well-made, fair home of mothers, the hospital, when ostensibly far gone, and here Joyce overdoes it intentionally, reproductive, not reproductive. It's like a stutter is built in as something not too simple. It's come by her there to lie in, a lying in hospital, her term up. But now we go back to Joyce's imitation of Old English.
Some man that wayfaring was stood by house door at night's oncoming. Of Israel's folk was that man, that on earth wandering far had fared. Stark wrath of man, his errand that him lone led till that house. Of that house, a horn is lord. 70 beds keeps he. Their teeming mothers are wont that they lie for to thole and bring forth bairns hail. So God's angel to Mary quoth. Watchers tway their walk, white sisters in ward sleepless. Smarts they still, sickness soothing. In 12 moons, thrice 100. True as bedthanes they twain are, for horn holding wariest ward.
Now it becomes easy, especially for us with a German background. Some man that wayfaring was, there is an old English text that's called The Wayfarer. We understand that Fairing was stood by house door at night's oncoming. Oncoming has not arrived, but we understand it. Of Israel's folk was that man that on earth wandering far had fared. You see, it has a kind of charm that we can relate to. Stark ruth of man, his errand, that him lone led till that house. Stark ruth, we don't have the word ruth anymore, but we have ruthless is when you have no pity. So ruth is an old word for pity. Stark ruth man, his errand, that him alone led till that house. The Scandinavian till was used locally, spatially, till that house. Now we use it only temporarily, till next Monday. So it's close enough for us to understand, and we can see it. It is the kind of imitation of Old English. Old English has all kinds of fusions of vowels, and it doesn't look very nice, and that has been ironed out. So it is imitation English. Of that house, a horn is wrought. 70 bed keeps he there, teeming mothers. Now we don't use team like that, but we understand that. Teeming mothers are wont that they lie for to thole. And thole is no longer English. There's a lot of evolution there. Some words, some forms have not survived, have fallen by the wayside. Thole we don't need. It's the same word as dulden, suffer, for to thole. And bring forth bairns. And I do, thou shalt bring forth. Bairn, you know, is a Scottish word for what is being born. Bairns. Hail, healthy. We have that still in German, Heil. So God's angel to Mary quoth. God's angel, Gabriel. Not Gabriel, who in the Annunciation told it to the Virgin Mary, thou wilt bring forth the Son of God. Watchers, tway. If you have they, Joyce used the old word for tway, the word two in Old English, Old German, even Swiss dialects, has many different forms. And tway is one, their walk. White sisters in ward sleepless. Sisters sleepless. Watchers walk ward. Smart is still. And you're right, the word smart in English has turned away, though it can still mean pain. But here is it's German. Smart is still. Pains they soothe. Sickness soothing in 12 months. Thrice 100. So there are about 300 in the hospital. Truest bed thanes they twain are. Bed thanes. You don't know the word thane, except that it is in Scottish, and they always refer to to Shakespeare, the thane of I forget where. And the German word untertan is the same word that you don't have as a single word anymore. There's that. So Joyce goes back into an not quite natural old form. Truest for them they twain are for horn holding rariest ward. So we have that. And this we can understand and can relate to, and it even may have a certain charm. So now we go through the chapter beginning in essay imitation of Old English all the way to the 19th century. And so everything that happens is in a way translated into an earlier form that Joyce in a way imitated or faked or whatever you call, with all the inherent uncertainties. For example, we never quite know what they speak because they don't speak in 20th century English. They speak the way it is. So it is a very strange kind of thing, full of very difficult twists and some quite delightful thing. But it is much more challenging than what we had in the previous chapter. Okay, so there's a hard work ahead then. Good. I hope you enjoy it all the same. Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.